What's it all about, Alfie? Some of you who are old enough will remember the film, and will remember Cilla Black singing the song, which did extremely well. What's it all about? What's this Christian faith all about? What's the future about for the disciples at this point in their journey, and for us, where we are now? What are we supposed to do? How do you move on from your leader being executed and then reappearing? What is the church for? We might ask ourselves. Well, there they are in the upper room. It's interesting, though, that it's a bit of economical sort of description of what's going on, because they're hiding there and the doors are locked because they're afraid of what the rest of the Jewish crowd is going to do to them. They are the outcasts. Their leader has been executed. Okay, we've got this story about him having risen from the dead, but they're still terrified. And then Jesus appears in the middle of them. I should think the first reaction is something of a shriek and a gasp of horror and wonder what on earth is going on. And Jesus has to reassure them that he is genuine, that it is him. You can feel my body. You can see the marks in the hands and the hole in the side. They still won't actually believe him. And it's interesting that, that Luke's gospel also picks this up. And I think that's next week's gospel reading. And he says, look, have you got anything to eat? I said, well, got a bit of grilled fish here. And so he says, well, shall we eat some of the fish? And so gradually they start to realize that this genuinely is Jesus, although they don't understand one little bit as to how this could have happened. Well, let's move on from there, because actually you get a bit of final instruction at this point. Jesus giving instructions to his disciples and to everybody who follows as to what happens next. And the bit that we all remember, it's called the Great Commission, but there are three of them. The one we all remember is, usually if we remember any of them, is in Matthew's Gospel. And at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Then he blesses them and disappears, finally. Very operational, very instrumental, very much involved with being activists. This is what you have to do. You have to go and do things. Luke's version and John's version is a little bit different. Quieter, more inward looking, not so activist. In Luke, Jesus says to them, you remember the words I spoke to you? You remember all the things I've taught you about how everything in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms has got to be fulfilled? I suspect that what he did here is he went over the same Bible study, as it were, he did with Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus when they asked questions and Jesus explained everything and they started to understand somewhat better. And it says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So it's written that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Notice not you will go and proclaim, but it shall be proclaimed. It's going to happen. This is actually God's plan. It's all there in the Old Testament. It's all been revealed by God before. We're now coming to putting it into action. It's going to happen. And then he says, and you are witnesses of these things. You have seen it. And I am sending you on what my Father promised. So stay here until you've been clothed with power from on high. Stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Just stay and wait for God to come upon you, and then you will see exactly what you have to do. And in John's Gospel, it's even more economic than that, and we have that in our Gospel reading. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Well, that's quite straightforward. I wonder why Mark doesn't have anything. Well, the reason is that Mark's whole gospel is about the gospel of God and what has to happen. We're going to sing about it later. Actually, our last, hymn, God's Spirit is in my heart. Actually, can you put the acetate of that on, Rich? Assume you've got it ready there, Linda. Making you work hard here. No, not that one. Yeah, number 231. Because actually, in this particular song, it says all that we need to do. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do. Then go up to the chorus. He sent me to give good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. So go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. Go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come. Okay, now back to that coloured acetate that you had there before. I'm working Linda rather hard today. Now you know about this, and you should have a little bit. The five marks of mission, just move it across until we can see. No, they go the other way. The five marks of mission, the first one, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. You should all know this, actually. It's amazing, it takes a bit of time to get it into our mind. The second mark is to teach, nurture, and baptize new believers. Right, over to the other side now and up to the top. You've got to move the opposite direction when you do this. It's quite different. To respond to human need by loving service. Then to seek to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and to pursue peace and reconciliation. And strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and renew the life of the earth. Well, that all seems to be a bit of a burden, really, and you've got a handout somewhere with them all on. You know, am I really expected to do all of this lot, all of these five things? When we did an exercise quite some time ago in church with this, we were asked to put, and it was a chart, and you were asked to put little ticks next to the bit that you thought you might be able to have a go at and do things. And interestingly, the first two had almost no ticks. And in fact, the only ticks that were put for the first two, go back to the first two actually, Linda, the first two marks. To proclaim the good news of the kingdom and to teach, nurture, and baptize new believers. It was only the clergy ticked those. Now, what I want to say at this point is a bit of a shock. Because actually there aren't five marks of mission. There are only two. And it's those first two. And it's because in that one, proclaim the good news of the kingdom, all the other three are contained. And that's why we'll be singing it at the end. Go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And it may be that actually what you have to do, somewhere or other I've got my text of this here so I can see what I'm talking about. That responding to human need by loving service, it just might be the sort of thing you do naturally. You help your neighbour out. You do something for your family. You give to charity. You respond to human. That's all proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. You may seek to transform unjust structures of society, challenge violence, and pursue peace and reconciliation. That might seem a bit of a tall order, in today's world. But this is really to encourage our politicians and our leaders to do it. But we can come across unjust structures in our society. We can come across situations where we can see that somebody is being discriminated against or ignored or overridden in some ways, or being bullied or being exploited. And we can call it out if it's in the right circumstances and say, I don't think you should be doing that. That's not right. That is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation, sustain and renew the life of the earth. Well, we're going to sing a bit later. What are we going to sing about a bit later? I am a new creation. That's right, we're going to be singing that. That's a quote from 2 Corinthians 5. I am a new creation. Here in the grace of God I stand. Therefore, says St. Paul, if anybody is in Christ, there is new creation. The old things have passed away. All things become new. By our becoming Christians, we are part of God's new creation. And therefore, looking around at the world around us, it is part of our Christian life to safeguard the creation we live in. Because it's going to be God's new creation. Because that started with new life in Christ and will eventually encompass the whole of the universe, a new creation. And it's all proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Well, the baptizing of new believers and teaching, actually, well, maybe that does belong within the church. But you know, of those five marks of creation, it's only the second, if you like, that's specifically church-centered. All the other four can take us into our everyday lives and the way in which we live day by day. It's the two marks of mission. And proclaiming the gospel. Perhaps the word proclaim upsets us. We think, I'm not any good at that. You can't put me on a soapbox and do something. I don't know what to do. It's not me. Well, that's fine. Because actually, when you look through the Acts of the Apostles, you find there are three particular verbs about how the gospel is being proclaimed or spoken about or whatever. Well, there's the proclamation one. That's the one we tend to spot when Paul or Peter or somebody stands up and says their bit. When they're put on trial by somebody, when they're in a marketplace and they've been accused of insurrection, and then they proclaim, and it's the word is the same as the herald. It's actually kerusein in Greek, but kerygma is all a very technical word, but it's what the herald does, who stands there with the proclamation from the emperor, blows a trumpet and says, righto chaps, this is what you're being told to do. Well, you might think, not me, can't do that. Well, there's a second word that's used quite a lot, and it's the word of bearing witness, martyrein. It's the word from which we get martyr, somebody who has borne witness to people. And it's not so much actually in the Acts of the Apostles, though we get a bit of that. We get it with Stephen, St. Stephen and his martyrdom. But we get it particularly if you read through some of the early letters of the church in the first century of those who are martyred for their faith. The bearing witness. Of if you put me on the spot, well, okay, I've got to say something. I will bear witness. Even if it costs me, this is what I believe. You know, I'm not on a soapbox, you haven't got to believe me, you haven't got to come with me, but this is where I am. But you know, there's a third word, and there's a third word which I think actually most of us are going to find a lot easier. It's to speak, lalain, or can be translated to gossip. It's to talk with people in the marketplace. And I remember when I was preparing this just thinking, well, I think actually most Anglican congregations I've ever come across are quite happy with the idea of non-malicious gossip. they quite like talking about things. Well, why don't we do that with the people we meet day by day? You know, I was praying this morning in my prayers for such and such, and a little later in the day, it wasn't quite what I expected, but I've been praying for my son who's just been very difficult, and I've been really worried. And he's come to me later in the day and says, "Mum, I've just got a new job. It's a proper job." That wasn't quite what I was praying for, but boy, it was a better answer than what I was praying for. And telling your neighbour, "Well, I'm so relieved that that's happened." How to gossip the gospel in the marketplace of life, in the shops, at work, with our neighbours. Gossip the gospel. So when it says, "Go tell everywhere the news that the kingdom of God has come," it's just the conversation that you're having day by day. No soapboxes. Don't think anybody's going to be put to death, so it's not martyrdom. But it's gossiping the gospel day by day. We're going to sing unexpectedly at this point. It's number 108. You will know it. It's Colours of Day Come Into the Mind, because that talks about that as well. So when we're ready, and when I've got the music going, we'll stand and sing.